This is the Mixed Coach Podcast, episode 68.
On this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about layering effects as well as layering some of the like samples and that sort of thing. And definitely talking a little bit about how to mix as your own type of engineer with your own set of sounds. All right, Kev. This week we're talking about. That was really abrupt.
You scared me.
Well, I was like wondering if we were recording. Then I looked over. Okay, we're recording. So I just went right in. This week we're going to talk about effects layering. I know on Mixed Coach Member, we've had a lot of guys that I've suggested doing like either kind of a delay into a reverb or like adding a bigger reverb for the tail and then a smaller reverb for like kind of the beginning for the attack, that sort of thing. And sometimes that can get kind of confusing for guys, and sometimes it can be overused where they just kind of use two reverbs that don't really match, they don't really EQ, doesn't really sound good together, that sort of thing. So in your experience, you've had a decent amount of experience with effects layering. Kind of what's the appropriate kind of thing going with effects layering, whether it's a delay, a reverb, whatever?
Well, as far as effects layering, really the only layering that I actually do is usually on the vocal, and I'll put a delay and a verb on kind of either the same return or I'll kind of intermingle them. Yeah. And I think there's a tutorial video on exactly how I do this. I have to look for it on YouTube.
Right.
But basically what I'll do is I'll create a stereo effects return or an aux input, and then I'll put a delay first, and then I'll make the delay be on like quarter notes or dotted eighth notes or something in that range, usually dotted eighth notes, and then what I'll do is I'll change the mixture to that to where it's mostly dry, but there's a little bit of delay on it, so it's almost like you would put a real vocal.
Right.
Like the kind of delay you'd put on real vocal. And then after that, I'll put reverb on it.
Yeah.
And what, I found that when I was using D-verb quite a bit, which was, probably not the best, but not bad by any stretch.
Right.
If you wanted a long...
It gets a bad rep for sure, but...
It does.
But, I mean, to be honest with you, it doesn't sound,
it sounds
terrible.
I use it all the time still. Yeah. But if you need longer reverb times, if you need longer trail times, instead of just like... cranking the knob to 6 seconds or whatever, what I'll do is I'll send it through in chunks with the delay.
Yeah.
So as far as layering, that's usually the only layering I did. But, however, when I went to Capitol Records last year and mixed, and when I met Steve, who's now...
Steve Genowick,
who's now,
a Mixed Coach member, that sort of thing.
He's such a great asset
to
have there, and he's such a wealth of knowledge, but... One of the things he showed me there was, we use their chambers there. They've got, I think, six chambers, and they all
designed by Les Paul.
Yeah, Les Paul. Actually, I think they dug up the parking lot, and they actually put these chambers downstairs. And they're, they're oddly shaped chambers with Altec Voice of the Theater speakers in the middle. So it's a mono send, and then there's two SM81s that are, I think they're... The Omni version of the SM81. I didn't know there was one, but anyway, so that's what it is. So each chamber sounds different than the other chamber, and I found from Steve that whoever you have to kind of call dibs on a certain chamber that you want. But one of the things that Steve showed me, which was really cool, was that he layers reverbs.
Yeah,
he layers the chambers. So he would take the EMT 250 and then layer it into the chamber. And, so that's really, and I really just did that under his tutelage. And it was one of those things where it's like, that sounds great. Let's leave it right there. And then I never really asked, what percentage of this chamber was it to that? I never did do any of that. But as far as a general rule for me, I don't do a lot of layering of verbs. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for me having a template set up to where I was printing, a vocal stem at the same time I was printing a band stem, I would probably use the same verb. But I have to keep those discrete. But I usually use the same kind of verbs on each one. So if I were just mixing old school in front of a console, I would probably have one or two verbs.
Right.
And I would use those independently. I would use they'll probably one verb for the vocals and probably another verb for the band.
Yeah. And as far as that goes, like sometimes I've found that like the band having the same verb as the vocals kind of helps the vocals sit in the mix a little bit more. And then the drums can have kind of like if I was using like a hall on something else, I could use like a plate on the drums, that sort of thing, where the drums kind of fit in their own because of the transient nature. They fit in their own space and they will still blend with everything. But sometimes with the instruments, if I'm using two different like crazy different effects on the vocals and then the instruments, sometimes the vocals will sit on top of rather than inside of the mix, that sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of the same way where like sometimes I'll use a delay that's mostly a delay into a reverb and kind of mix that in with a normal reverb, that sort of thing. But other than that, like it's really few and far between whenever I layer too many effects. Yeah. But most of the time it is a combo of like a delay and a verb. So,
you know, we've been talking about things like a few weeks ago, we talked about expanders and now we're talking about layering, and we both say, you know, we don't really do that much. One of the things I think is a benefit to this is like, personally, I would like to know, because, you know, we talked about several weeks ago, we talked about do the tricks get in the way of your mixing?
Yeah.
And sometimes I would like to know that is a cool trick, but nobody ever uses it. I mean, that's one trick that one guy used on one record.
Oh, yeah.
And now everybody's trying to use it to not much, you know, with not much success.
Right.
So on these sort of things, I think it would be beneficial to find out that, you know, nobody uses layers reverb. Everybody sticks one reverb on one sound.
And right.
Maybe this one engineer has a sound where he uses, you know, 10 compressors or whatever. And that works for him.
Seems like a lot of compressors there. I feel like the gain staging would be a little bit complicated between 10 compressors, that sort of thing.
You run out of one compressor and then the next, and it sounds like radio, I guess.
Yeah, you just chain it all together, yeah. You know, and to be honest with you, like, it's kind of, whenever I say I don't use it very often, I say, you know, on this one, I mean more like one in every, like maybe one or two mixes off of an album. So maybe like one or two out of 10 songs, I feel like it's appropriate. And a lot of times, you know, whenever I do effects layering, it's on a song with like maybe a sparse production to where like it needs something to fill kind of the void or fill like a vibey song that needs to fill the space.
To where the verb is an instrument.
Right, where it is part of the texture of the song, you know, where it's like this is a delay going into a verb and then you slip that into in addition to the regular verb, that sort of thing. Or sometimes like even that, you know, if it's like there's a very sparse section of the song, like at the very intro or something where there's like it's just the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll layer an effect there, but then take it out whenever the rest of the band comes in because it just, you know, would get in the way and you would barely hear it anyway. So.
I'll tell you one other layering, if we're talking about if we've ever used layering before. I have experimented with, again, not very successfully, but I experimented with a pitch shift before the verb. And what I wanted to happen was the pitch to actually go up.
Hmm.
As it tailed off.
That's cool.
And I think there's probably verbs out there that do that.
Yeah.
But this was kind of like a regenerating pitch shift with verb on it.
Gotcha.
And I did that once, and I think it was for an effect. And like I said, I can't even remember which song it was, so it must not have been.
Must not have been like that successful.
Landmarkish.
Yeah. You know, and as far as that goes, it's like a lot of the stuff, like you said, it's just it's very specific to the song where you have an idea. And something I wanted to mention was if there's kind of an unconventional thing that you hear into a song and you want to try, don't be afraid to try it. Because you can always bypass it after, you know, you set your amount of time and say, I'm going to try this, you know, and chase this rabbit down the rabbit hole for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. After 10, 15 minutes, if you're not close or happy with it, you can just bypass it, move on. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't waste you much time, didn't waste, you know, nothing like that. So no harm, no foul, that sort of situation. And a lot of times with effects layering, that's what ends up happening, where it's like, hey, I've got an idea, this is going to sound really great. Mm-hmm. You get in there and it's like, well, while it sounds good, it may not be the direction that the song was wanting to go in, and it may not actually add anything, you know, substantial to the song. So let's just take it out so it doesn't muddy the mix.
And you know, we talked about this several weeks ago on the podcast that it's not really any
one thing.
It's a layer of a bunch of things, and I wouldn't be surprised if you found that perfect sound, that perfect layering or whatever, and then you bypassed one of the things that was in the layer, and you couldn't really tell or your wife couldn't tell that right. it was gone, or
right.
or who you were mixing for couldn't really tell that oh, much yeah. difference. But I wouldn't be discouraged about that, because, you know, good mixing is
yeah.
lots of little things and oh, not yeah. anything big. So it's definitely worth spending time oh, finding yeah. the right, you know, layering things in. But, you know, don't be disappointed and don't think that you haven't made any progress if it's not a life-changing, whoa, what did you just do to that?
Right,
because
right.
it's usually not bad.
And a lot of times it's the little things, like you said, and even, you know, to an extent where, like, whenever I'm doing any, like, programming or adding to a song, you know, multiple kicks, like, if you're using one kick for, like, a certain sound, and then you, with, especially with, like, pop and hip-hop, that sort of thing, if you have a big, you know, beefy low-end kick, mm-hmm. and then you have another one that's kind of like a punchy attack kick, that sort of thing, layering those guys together is kind of nice, because, you know, you can mm-hmm. choose to eliminate one and just have that high kick, the punchy kick for one hit, and then, you know, make a really big impulse on a, like, a downbeat or something like that.
Oh, you know what? I don't know why I didn't think about this, but I layered drums
yeah.
quite a bit. I mean, I used to, if there was a snare drum that didn't have quite enough sizzle
yeah.
and I couldn't add any more top into it, a lot mm-hmm. of times what I would do is I would take sound replacer
yeah.
or maybe the trigger
or something like that yeah.
and I would trigger a tambourine on top of it
yeah.
and that would give it the top end that it needed that happened at the same time. And that wasn't really, and that was a small layer.
Right. And especially if you need something like a lift on a chorus or something like that, a tambourine on a snare can sound like, can just signify, here's the chorus, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing, where it just gets more exciting in
right.
a section.
Right.
So for sure. I mean, and layering, like you said, layering like that, that's a kind of a cool way that a mix engineer, kind of a cool trick that, you know, you shouldn't be scared to do necessarily. Like if you hear something like that where it's like, oh, well, let me add something to this snare or supplement it somehow. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared to do that for sure, because, you know, chances are it'll end up better than it was
and
in
you
the
know,
beginning.
I used to be a little hesitant to add layers because I didn't want to add flam.
Yeah.
Like if you layered a snare drum on top of another snare drum, which is something I do quite a bit too.
Yeah.
I'll layer snare drums on top of each other, but it hasn't always been as easy as it is now. I mean,
yeah.
I started using the Massey Dirt, and it's so accurate. And then lately, as of late, I've been using Stephen Slate's trigger
yeah,
plugin.
Trigger. That's phase accurate.
And it is so phase accurate that if your sample is out of phase with the original, then it'll sound like it's out of phase.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to sample things in there now. And, you know,
right.
we started talking about presets a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Another thing that I do is I'll have a great kick sound that I can pull up
mm-hmm.
and it's a preset, or I have yep. a great, you know, Black Beauty snare
yeah.
or a piccolo snare that I want to, you know, layer in on top of it, or sometimes just replace.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's a great thing for engineers to have as well as, and recently there's been a couple of guys that I know have been using their sample catalogs and their specific ones. They've been using them as kind of a calling card, that sort of thing, where it's like, hey, if you want these sounds, you know, come to me as a, you know, cause I'm the one that has these sounds,
right.
Cause I recorded them and that sort of thing. And I definitely think that's a legitimate thing as well that you can use layering wise is, hey man, if you have this, you know, amazing snare sound and you just, you know, sneak that in, you know, hey, that's just a thing that in your mix that you layered in there that can definitely be a calling card for you.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Mix Coach Podcast, the podcast dedicated to making your next recording your best recording. For more tips, tutorials, and even a free course, be sure and visit us at mixcoach.com.